Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Conference USA Report podcast. I'm your host, Adam. Let's talk about some Conference USA football. Even though we are, one of seven people that want to talk about it, we'll do it. Let's do it together. I saw an interesting tweet by former colleague, Jared Kelmus, saying, hey, it's sickening to see Texas State, UTSA, UNT alumni rooting for Texas and saying we... That kind of stuff does bother me also, but, I'm a little numb to it. That's kind of the way it goes in Conference USA football at this level. I've said this before on this podcast and elsewhere that everybody is the little brother in their state. Everybody in this league. North Texas, little brother to, four or five other schools in the state. And even, Oklahoma, right? There's a lot of people from other Big 12 schools that go to Dallas, and it's hard to get them hyped about North Texas there, right? Middle Tennessee, little brother to Tennessee and others. Who else am I there? Western Kentucky, little brother to, Kentucky there, obviously, right? Louisiana Tech, little brother to LSU, Southern Miss, little brother to Mississippi State, Ole Miss, UTEP, same situation as North Texas, UTSA, same thing. Rice, same thing. All the way down the line. That's just kind of the way of things. That's the way it goes. And I think that's one thing that ties everybody together. They can kind of get that. They kind of understand that. I think right now everybody is on a mission to prove that they're better than everybody else, which is kind of weird. In the way that, I can't believe I'm associated with these second-tier schools. I want to be associated with it. The first-tier schools. Also, I wish our first-tier school and our state would take us seriously. It's kind of a weird thing, and I think that's for that reason all these programs should embrace each other because they have that shared kind of problem, right? Band together, that kind of thing. Anyway, I saw that on Twitter just a little bit ago. We were recording this Sunday night, if you're wondering, so a little bit more time than usual. Usually we do this early in the day. On Sunday, so we have everything fresh in our minds. But let's go through it, right? Let's walk through the entire league. Hey, Western Kentucky, 1-0 in conference. How about them? Helton gets his first win, an ugly win. Required an injury to one James Morgan. And how about FIU just really stinking up the joint? Candidate for most underperforming team. I saw somebody say, what about North Texas too? Maybe. I think North Texas is a little bit as expected right now. They haven't lost to anybody that they were favored against, right? They were underdogs against SMU. And right now, from the line that I'm looking at, 14-point underdogs against Cal. Cal, who just beat, Washington. Good quarterback over there in Washington. Let's go through it. Let's start with Friday. Two very impressive performances by two teams that were 14-point underdogs. Marshall lost 14-7 against number 24th-ranked Boise State, a Boise State team that did well against Florida State in the week one matchup. And those are always kind of crazy, right? Because we hype up Florida State and say, oh, they're a storied program, they're very good. We want all the benefits from those kinds of games against them, but when they scrub it up, nobody wants to, realize that maybe they're not that good, right? Florida State struggled this week against ULM, and so you look at Boise State and say, maybe that performance wasn't so impressive, and maybe Marshall wasn't so impressive. I don't know. Boise State, they look like a good team to me. They have a quality quarterback, Hank Bachmeier. Marshall did everything but win this game, and a lot of that was because they could not move the ball. Isaiah Green, I think he threw for 56 yards or something like this. Pretty terrible. That was a concern coming in. I'm not really I'm not really surprised by this outcome. I thought that Marshall might have a solid defense, but I had some question marks about the offense, right? Isaiah Green showed out a little bit last season, but he was injured and he had some turnovers the second year, right? Question marks along the offense. They can't run the ball the way they were running last year. But I feel like if you had to look at, we'll talk about it. You look at the rest of the East. Western Kentucky, Charlotte are top-ish of the division. Charlotte looks the best, I guess. They're the number one scoring offense in the league right now. Averaging something like, they scored like 49 last week and then 41 this week or something like that. Lincoln, what is it, 41? Yeah, 41. And the loss against Appalachian State. We'll talk about that in a second. But Charlotte, scoring machine, right? Marshall can probably stop everybody on this list. Middle Tennessee, Old Dominion, FAU, FIU, everybody there has some issues. But the question is, and the question always has been, can they score? Can they move the ball? Can they get the points enough? Last week we were like, hey, 56 points, right? But that was against a VMI team that's not very good. Boise State, pretty good. Here are the totals, the total yards. 428 for Boise State, 160. Yes, 160 yards for Marshall. 44 yards passing, 116 yards rushing. Terrible. Terrible. And, you know, Boise State is not that much of a juggernaut. They're just a good team, and they have some talent. And just bad performance by Marshall. Missed some opportunities late. They did go down, score a touchdown right away, then didn't do anything for three quarters afterwards. Missed opportunity there, but come out looking pretty good because Boise State's ranked, and you held a ranked team to only 14 points, right? Very classic football. Wake Forest, 41. Rice, 21. Rice got bullied by those big wideouts and struggled after their QB, Wiley Green, went out. Was it Tom Stewart? He came in, and he performed well immediately, but, Rice just kind of came up against a more talented team, bigger, stronger, faster, that kind of deal. You look at Rice, and you think, all right, they're that's 2 weeks in a row, two solid performances, right? Held Army to only 14 points the week prior, and Army goes up to Michigan and takes them to overtime, a top 10 ranked team. And so you think, hey, we held a top 10 ranked team, like vicariously, I guess. It's only 14 points. That was pretty good. There's some question marks with the depth, and I think that kind of shows. When a quarterback goes down, then who do you have? You can't keep it going. And we talked about this before. At this level, in the G5 level and the Conference USA level, you're not going to keep, you don't have a five-star guy backing up a five-star guy, right? Like the P5 schools do. You have a three-star guy that is kind of showing out, and then behind him you have some question marks. That's the nature of this thing. That said, the better programs in this league, and I think right now maybe we can question which program is pretty good, which program has that kind of depth, but they can more easily stock. They have a few more three-stars on the roster, on the depth chart. Marshall's been good pretty much every season, except that one year they only won, three games or something like that. It was kind of strange. Good coaching, good recruiting of talent. That kind of keeps them up there. So my point is that Rice is building that kind of depth there. They get into the point where they have guys that fit their system all the way to up and down the roster. I like what they're doing. I believe in Mike Bloomgren. I think it's hard to do what he's trying to do, but he has experience doing it at Stanford, and I think he's doing it the right way. So, I like it. That so far has resulted in an 0-2 record, though, right? Moving on. Quality performance, moving on. Let's start at the top. Western Kentucky, FIU. 20-14 result. Ugly, ugly game. FIU loses their quarterback early in the game. Struggle to move the ball on offense, get a little closer. It was like 17-14 in the third quarter. Western Kentucky kicks a field goal late, just kind of have only field goals in the second half for them. 6 points there. Ugly game. It was boring. FIU comes up short. James Morgan did make his way back, and rumors are that he's going to be okay to play the next one. But a bad start for FIU. You don't want to lose in the division. It's a division game. And you were favored, right? You were favored to do some things in this division, in this conference. We talked about this before in the preseason conversations that FIU never seems like they're getting over the hump, that they're never winning the game they should win, the game that will take them to the next level. And right now, you know, it's bad. It's you don't want to start in our own one hole, but you know, you can make your way back. You can do some things, but it's real hard to get excited about it. It's real hard to look at this team and say, well, they were just, you know, bad luck away. Okay, injuries, right, to James Morgan, whatever. But he didn't play that well in the first game either. They looked awful against Tulane. They couldn't move the ball against Western Kentucky, who's, you know, frankly not that great. They lost to an FCS school the week prior. Credit to Helton over there, getting his first win. Very much like Charlotte last season. And we'll talk about Charlotte. Let's talk about Charlotte next. Very much like Charlotte, winning some games that nobody expects you to win can put you middle of the pack and, you know, kind of, you know, get you some unexpected enthusiasm. Let's say that. Okay, let's talk about the Charlotte game. This was a back-and-forth affair. They lose by 15, 56-41 at Appalachian State, a very good Appalachian State. They've pretty much dominated or been right up there in the Sun Belt the past few years. A very good team, and basically went toe-to-toe with them, right? Scoring, back and forth every time. The margin was closer than this. It was, I think they, whatever it was, 49? It was 49-41. And then try the onside, it made the margin worse, right? They App State picks it up, runs it back. The kid, was it Dentarian? I forget his name, first name, but Evans. 250 yards rushing. He had an 87-yard run, a 68-yard run, and then he returned the onside kick for a score. Big game for him, but you know, they were 23-point underdogs, only lose by 15, and really, practically speaking, this game was a lot closer than that. They went toe-to-toe with him again. Reynolds, Chris Reynolds, he's looking real good out there. They have counters to just giving Benny LeMay the ball, and that's real nice. Will Healy has them scoring. He has them putting points up on the board. Again, Appalachian State's a pretty good team. And so you can take this 41 points seriously and say, you know, who's going to stop them in Conference USA? Best defenses, you think, all right, Marshall's pretty good defense. You thought maybe FIU had some talent out there, but I don't know anymore. FAU looks lost every time they try to defend anybody. And they probably would have got beat by a bigger margin if they didn't call the game due to lightning against UCF. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Middle Tennessee, they're a well-coached team, but I don't know how good of a defense they have right now. So Charlotte might win this thing just by outscoring everybody, right? Not being a better, well, I guess they are a better team. But you know what I'm saying, right? Like, they're just an offense that nobody can stop. They can do that, right? They can, you know, get some lucky turnovers here and there, and we might see Charlotte as the East Division champs if they continue this way. And right now, I don't see any reason why they wouldn't continue this way. Pretty good by Charlotte. I know everybody, you know, is like, oh, why are you so down on Charlotte? I didn't think they had this many points in them. I didn't think they could score all the time. I didn't think Chris Reynolds was going to be a revelation like he has been. 41 points again. I forget the offensive yardage, but he was good. He made some tough throws. You know, he was getting hit a couple times. He can run it. He can find some yards on the ground. So again, you have a running back that teams need to gear up for. That's good, and they're taking advantage of that when they do gear up for that dude. And when they have to cover everybody, then it makes Benny LeMay that much better, right? Let me actually find the yardage because I want to take a look at this again. Darrington Evans is the dude from App State. 296 yards from Chris Reynolds is what I was trying to figure out. He's been really good. I'm just surprised at the dude. Last year, you know, he didn't really impress too much, in my mind. You know, just kind of there. It was an up and down season for everybody. They beat some teams that they should have beat, I thought, right? They beat Western Kentucky. And a handful of others. But, you know, they got beat by the teams that should beat them. You're a little bit concerned about that defense. But again, hey, Appalachian State's a good team. You know, you don't want to allow gigantic gobs of yardage like the way they did to Evans. I mean, he's a good good running back, but I mean, come on. Anyway, Charlotte is the leading scoring team in the league right now. 90 total points. Second best is I think North Texas with like 78. And you know, they struggled. So week to week, Charlotte, best offense in the league. Turns out. Didn't think that was going to be the case, but it turns out. Middle Tennessee, Tennessee State played. I know I didn't repeat myself. Middle Tennessee State University played Tennessee State University. 45-26 winners over there. I didn't watch a lot of this game, I got to admit. But I did read about it, and I did read the recaps. You don't like that Tennessee State was so close, was at 31-26 in the fourth quarter, but you do like that Asher O'Hara has played well in two games, and you know that bodes well for Middle Tennessee going forward. Because the big question was like, hey, you lose an historic quarterback, right, in Brent Stockstill, and then you know where does that leave you? And in my opinion, they never really played well in games without Brent, and there were some question marks all along, you know, the roster when that happens. You like it, you know. I don't know how much it says about Middle Tennessee, because last year I thought they struggled at times. They did find their way, and I want to say they backed their way into a conference title game appearance. But I thought their best team was a couple of seasons ago. They're always well coached, right? Rick Stockstill always has them well coached in the Sun Belt, in the in Conference USA. They're always a good team, a good solid team. I'd like to see them now, you know, kind of beyond Kid Stockstill there and see what they turn out. Like, I think they're 7-point dogs against Duke, which is interesting, because I thought Duke's pretty good. You know, they're 1-1 right now. They lost to Alabama. I thought they played pretty well in that game. We'll see a little bit more about Middle Tennessee as they move forward. Again, they played Michigan and they played Tennessee State. They thought they played better against Michigan than they did against Tennessee State. But in those two games, you know, solid, right? You got the win you're supposed to win. Eventually, you pull it away and you get 45 points on Tennessee State, however close it was at the time. If you compare yourself to the rest of the league, you know, you compare pretty well, right? Nobody's that good. Nobody's standing out except, I mean, even I think there's a bunch of UAB fans. We'll talk about this in a second. UAB fans are very proud of their team, but let us not forget they struggled with a SWAC team in week one. So, all right. Good times, Middle Tennessee, getting some points on the board in the second half. They only managed 10 in the first half. It was a 10-6 advantage. Moving on. Let's speak about UAB. 31-20 winners. That score is a little deceiving because UAB handled Akron pretty well. Tyler Johnson III, throwing bombs to dudes. Kendall Parham, I forget the other guy's name, but just throwing a ball all over the place. Struggled to run the ball. Former Daily Dragon founder tweeted, "Hey, should we discuss a running game? Are they bad? Are they bad right now? Should we be concerned?" I contend that they're not that bad, because in modern football, you really only need to get 3 yards when you absolutely need the 3 yards, right? When they know you're going to run and you can hand it off, and I believe that UAB can do that. You know, you don't need to you know, grind off 300-yard games. What you need is, hey, let's line up. Let's get our big uglies leaning on you. Let's give it to our dude that cannot be tackled easily. And get 3 yards when you know that we're going to run it and we need 3 yards and we're going to get it. That is winning football, and I think UAB can do that. Adding to that, the fact that they can throw the ball all over the field, right? A.J. Erdley was a lot of things, but, you know, he wasn't filling the sky with footballs and throwing touchdowns like this. That's why Tyler Johnson took his job late in the year last year, among other reasons. And, you know, that's why he's the starting quarterback right now. Big game from him. Good job by UAB, whooping up on Akron. Got that ugly taste out of their mouth. I think if you're a UAB fan, you're looking at next week and saying, yeah, we're where we need to be now. We're feeling good about ourselves. Week one was an aberration. Let's move on and look forward to next week. Well, I don't think UAB doesn't play this week, right? I'm looking at the schedule. No, they do not. Let's get a bye week. Let's play South Alabama, right? We're going to be good there. Got a little break. We're feeling good. Marino, the defensive tackle, he's been balling out, getting into the backfield. They have all the ingredients. If UAB is going to stumble, it's because they don't have the experience that they had last season, right? They don't have the experienced talent. They have talent still, right? Marino's still good. Tyler Johnson's still good. Spencer Brown's still good. And they have some talented receivers out there. My thinking was in preseason, with all that said, they did need every bit of that experience, right? They did need a comeback against North Texas. They did need something like a comeback on the road at Louisiana Tech. They did need a final stop against Brent Stockstill in the conference title game. And I felt like, I don't know that this group has that same stuff, has that same juice to pull out a win this time. But I will say, you know what? The rest of the league is looking pretty terrible right now, so that might not even matter right now. Right now, UAB is looking up. They're looking pretty good, and I might rank them pretty highly in my power rankings this week. We'll see about that. I got to look at it. But shout out to UAB. Big win over Akron. Was that the only non-conference win? Just quickly looking, quickly scanning. Yeah, only non-conference FBS. I was going to say BCS. FBS win this week. Let's talk about Tech. Louisiana Tech, 20-14 winners. This is another one of those games where fans came away from this feeling like their team lost. And you know what? I felt like that too. I was watching this game. It was a typical Louisiana Tech game. If you didn't watch this game, you have seen this game because if you've seen last year's Louisiana Tech team, good half, bad second half, right? Or flip that for certain games. Basically the same thing. Up 20-0. Everything's looking good. It's going to be a rout against the basically nearby neighbors, Grambling. But instead, offense doesn't do anything in the second half. Grambling gets 14 points. You need, some stops late to run the clock out and get a win. But nobody's feeling good about it, right? Some of the business of college football is getting easy wins in front of your home crowd so everybody can walk away nice and drunk and happy and have good feelings about your team. But when you win ugly like this, you get people walking away feeling like you lost. You might as well have lost. Well, that said, 1-1 for Louisiana Tech. The offense leaves something to be desired. Yes, you went up against Texas week one, but Grambling was where you're supposed to take your frustrations out. And it's supposed to sharpen you up because you see, hey, this is what it takes to compete against a top 10 team. So we're going to come out here against a team that is decidedly not a top 10 team and show them what's what. Didn't happen. Did that for a half, maybe. Not the full game. Do we want to talk about Florida Atlantic getting whooped? Let's do it. Let's do it quickly. A couple things about this. Florida Atlantic looked like they shouldn't be on the field with UCF. This game was called because of a lightning delay. It was at Florida Atlantic. The hospitality group, I guess whoever's in charge of everything, they didn't show up well. There's a lot of complaints about people getting into the stadium. So bad look all around. Nobody comes up feeling like this is a good situation, even though it was a record crowd. A lot of UCF fans, and they won going away 48-14. Lane Kiffin apologized for the performance, and you don't really want a whole lot of that. I think he apologized. I think Frank Wilson apologized for their performance. A lot of apologizing going around. I don't think you want that from your league's head coaches. Like, oh, sorry, that was the worst game ever. I apologize. I didn't have him ready. I apologize. We just got to be better than that. Come on. It just gives you a sense. This is a down year, right? Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. 2019 season for Conference USA is very bad, very poor right now. The best teams in this division, we're one, like, there's no great team. Everybody's kind of in the middle of the pack. Well, it kind of means that everybody just sucks, I think, right? FAU was getting shellacked at home against UCF. Meanwhile, their 2017 opponent in the conference title game, North Texas, expected to compete for the West Division title this year, was getting shellacked basically at home in Dallas, in the Park Cities there against SMU. SMU 21-0 at the end of the first quarter. If that was a video game, you passed the sticks, bro. Just bad. Blown out at home, basically. And what should have been a closer game, they were only 4-point underdogs. Mason Fine, let's be honest, he sucked. Only about 150 yards passing. The wide receivers looked terrible. They couldn't get open. Rico Bussey, the heralded receiver, didn't have a catch. They bracketed him, but, I mean, come on. You got to get him the ball. Offense, looking at Seth Littrell, head coach, offensive mastermind, new offensive coordinator, Bodie Reeder. Didn't get your best receiver the ball not once. Question mark, right? What are you doing out there? But Trey Siggers did run over a bunch of people, had 164 yards rushing. That was a bright spot. If you look at second, third, and fourth quarters, North Texas scored 27, and SMU scored 28, right? But first quarter does count, turns out. 21-0 in that one. You can make the argument Seth Littrell didn't have a team ready to play. And, you know, that is the number one job of a head coach. The defense looked poor, yeah, but the offense didn't show up until the second quarter in this one. And that's a bad thing because North Texas' defense is not good enough to let the offense not score 40 points. You know. So there you go. UAB looked good. Just to recap the West, Louisiana Tech, North Texas, meh. Southern Miss played Mississippi State in another AP5 matchup. Mississippi State was just bullying these dudes, man. Just running over them, doing whatever they wanted. Jack Abraham did have a couple nice throws to a couple guys. I think he hit Jalen Adams once. The Bulldogs never really looked threatened. But, you know, the combination of a struggling offense for Mississippi State and a solid USM defense kept it relatively close for some of it. USM unleashed some plays, and they looked threatening for a second, just a little bit. You're like, hey, maybe we should tune into this game. Until Jack Abraham threw two picks. Here's the thing. I like Jack Abraham a lot. I think he's accurate. I think he runs that offense well. But he throws too many interceptions. He had 10 last year. He already had 2 in this game. Some of these are just bad. Just bad overthrows. He's a turnover machine. And you can't have that in 2019, ladies and gentlemen. That's why I'm not super high on Southern Miss. I think they have all the tools. They're right there. But they can't turn the ball over at the quarterback position. What are you going to do? Bottom half of the West Division, UTEP. I mean, they got 3 points against Texas Tech, and they held them, quote-unquote, to only 38 yards, but Texas Tech just kind of took care of business. It was basically a scrimmage. UTEP never really threatened. We got to see Kai Loxley again. None of that really mattered. UTEP didn't do too much. It was a boring game to watch. UTSA got shellacked by Baylor. The highlight of this game was probably the backup Baylor quarterback, Bohannon, just trucking UTSA dudes. Frank Wilson apologized, said nobody could tackle, we got to, you know, blah, 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 this and that. Frank Harris, the quarterback, the one who shone brightly against the Incarnate Word, FCS Incarnate Word, in the hometown showdown right to open the season, he looked like he hasn't played football in 3 years, right? And which is the case. He was injured senior year in high school, injured last season, and then there was a redshirt year. You know, he's out here playing well when, you know, but Baylor has fast guys also, right? Frank Harris can move and escape, but Baylor has guys that can keep up with you. And that's what it looked like. 63-14 was the final. Just devastating them from start to finish. North Texas. UTSA never looked. I was looking at the North Texas logo right there. That's why I said that. But yeah, Frank Harris only managed 93 yards. Brewer, the Baylor QB, 163 yards on 12 of 16 passing, 3 touchdowns. Bohannon only threw the ball 7 times for 15 yards, but he ran for 93. Long of 38, and he scored. Just, you know, again, start to finish, just domination by Baylor. And you remember when UTSA was kind of making a name for themselves, saying, hey, we're giving these P5 teams a little what for, you know? Look out for these Roadrunners. Not so much the case anymore. 368 yards rushing for Baylor, 544 total. UTSA only managed 258, 94 pass yards, 164 yards rushing. But hey, Sincere McCormick, freshman, he looks good. Man, that's it. That's all you can say. You know, how much of that was taking the foot off the gas? I don't know. He is pretty solid. And usually talent shines through no matter what. But that's lone bright spot there. I already mentioned Rice. Let's go back to the East. Old Dominion. Hey, for a brief second, it looked like they were going to maybe challenge Virginia Tech one more again. Didn't happen, though. They looked good. Stone Smart leading the Monarchs there, but they came up short 31-17. There was basically like a couple series where Stone Smart was leading them down. But, you know, Virginia Tech got Old Dominion cut it to 24-17. And Virginia Tech takes a big kickoff return, goes down, scores a touchdown, and basically kind of ends it, right? And that was kind of the rest of the thing there. Old Dominion did shake off a little bit of those bad feelings from week one. They had one of these Louisiana Tech wins where you won, but you felt like you lost. But, you know, playing Virginia Tech well, I think it makes everybody feel a little bit better. So we'll see where they go. But I'm not super up on Old Dominion right now. Meaning, like, I don't think they're going to do that well. They skip a week, and then they play at Virginia. Just taking on all the Virginia teams, right? Norfolk State, Virginia Tech, now Virginia. You know, Thomas Jefferson School. So we'll see. We'll see how they perform that. You get a week off, got to figure out some things. They did improve, right? I think Bobby Wilder's like, biggest improvement usually is week one, week two. They did improve a lot, but still some things to work out for that squad. We already talked about Florida Atlantic. Already talked about FIU. That is everyone. Ladies and gentlemen, look forward quickly, very quickly, to next week's games. Saturday, September 14th. No more Friday games, looks like. That's pretty good, huh? I like Saturday college football. Massachusetts visits Charlotte in a game that Charlotte's favored, right? They're like favored by like 19, I believe. Let me double check that right now because I think it's 18.5, yeah. 18.5 point favorites for Charlotte in that one. New Hampshire visits FIU. I can't say that FIU should be favored by a whole lot in this one, and I'm looking at it. 8.5 points. Texas visits Rice, but not really. They go to Energy Stadium. 30-point favorites are the Longhorns in that one. Middle Tennessee and Duke, already said Duke's a 7-point favorite. Marshall hosts Ohio, 5-point favorites, the Herd are. Again, that defense should be pretty good. USM taking on Troy, visiting Troy. A good team, but they don't have their coach anymore. New coach over there at Troy. 3-point favorites are the Trojans. And, I mean, that's basically, hey, you're at home, right? Louisiana Tech travels to Bowling Green. 10.5 point favorites. Bowling Green, I believe they got blown out. By like, it was like 60-0 in that game. They got blanked. North Texas travels to Berkeley. 14-point favorites for Cal. Cal, again, they beat Washington in a game, 14th-ranked Washington, in a game that was strange. Like a two-hour lightning delay or something like that, or like 8-hour lightning. It was like the total game time, if you look at the ESPN3 thing, is like 12 hours or something like that. Weird game. Cal won on a late field goal, I believe is what it was. Just, you know, they won, but then you question marks about it, right? I think North Texas either jumps out and says, hey, last week was a bad, just, you know, aberration, or they just continue. Somebody found a what's the word, like an antidote for that offense. No line for Louisville and Western Kentucky right now. But there you go. That's in Nashville. So why? I don't know. What's in Nashville? Army visits UTSA in a game that, 16-point favorites are the Black Knights. And, you know, I think if this was UTSA of a few years ago, you're like, all right, they can kind of go toe-to-toe with Army. But Army's a very good team. They felt like they should have beat Michigan, and they basically had them pinned down. They just needed to convert a field goal, and they didn't. It's the first field goal of the guy's career. It was crazy. Army, I mean, I see them rolling in this one. They're a very good team. I would not want to play. I would not want to play that squad this season. They're tough. And then FAU are a favorite at Ball, 3-point favorite for Lane Kiffin. Kiffin in that one. And that is your week 3 schedule. Folks, thanks for listening to Conference USA Report. We appreciate your attention. Leave a review. Rate us on iTunes, right? Let people know about the show. And we'll see you next week. Thanks.